today, we'll talk about what the holiday season is like at Disney World. That's coming up on this episode 63 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you so much for being here for episode 63. I know that we are just fresh off of Halloween and it is already time to start talking about the holidays, at least when it comes to Disney World. Even if it's not in your house, it is going on at Disney World. Before we jump into an overview of everything that's happening at Disney World during the holiday season, just a quick reminder that you should take a moment to follow me on social media, because I put a lot of time and thought into the things that I post there. And a lot of people consider it an extension of the site and the podcast because I share information there that I don't share other places, namely the Facebook page, facebook.com/WDWPrepSchool, and the same for Pinterest. Please follow along there. And I will, of course, at the end have a quick tip of the day that is not holiday related, but is nonetheless very, very helpful. So let's talk about the holidays. So this time of year, you know, this podcast is going up the first part of November, and this is the week where Disney World does an overhaul of particularly the Magic Kingdom. It was Halloween. They've been having Halloween parties since the beginning of September, and they literally transform it overnight. So people going there during this week could one day be there for Halloween decorations of the next holiday, which is an amazing thing because there's so much, you know, so much that has to be done to make that happen. I'll include a video in the show notes that shows how they do it. It shows like a time lapse of them taking everything down Halloween related, putting the holiday stuff up. And it's something they plan for months, and it's obviously a lot of orchestration and logistics to figure out. But nonetheless, the first part of November is when holiday season kicks off. Now, the earliest things begin around November 7th or so in November, and go to usually right after New Year's. So this year you might have November 7th to January 4th, I think it is. And so a lot of the things take place in that time span. However, some things that I'm going to talk about today are a shorter time span. They only take place during a part of that. So I'll get into the details as I get to the discussion. I will tell you this takes place at Disney World from this date to this date, so you'll have a good idea. But in general, the holidays are considered around November 7th to January 4th or so at Disney World. So let's first talk about the thing that is the most popular, the most well-known, which is Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. And this is a party that takes place at Magic Kingdom in November, and it goes from about November 7th to mid-December, and it happens a few nights a week. And it starts at 7 p.m. to midnight, just like the Halloween parties do. And if you have a party ticket, you can get in at 4 o'clock if you would like. The prices are the same as the Halloween party. $62 to $71 per adult, depending on when you buy them. And they typically go on sale in May. And so that's sort of the basics. Now, what takes place at the party? There are a few things. One is that there is a special Christmas parade, and it is shown two times a night, 8:15 and 10:30. And as always, if there are two times available for something, the second one is always going to be the one that is the least crowded. So if you want to optimize your time, go to the second parade. Another thing that takes place are stage shows, such as there's a stage in Tomorrowland where there are stage shows and in front of the castle. And these shows happen a few times during the party and include various characters. Speaking of characters, there are character greeting opportunities. And of course, Kenny the Pirate is the best source for that information. And they tend to be very popular during the parties. And so you want to make sure you plan your time there. If characters are an important part of your party time, then you want to make sure that you don't end up in a line that takes hours to get through. So follow Kenny's advice on that. I will, of course, link to this information in the show notes. During the party, most attractions are open and, in fact, usually have very short lines. And so it's a chance to ride some things if you would like to that are otherwise going to be busy during the day. Now, I don't necessarily think attractions have to be the focus of your time, but if you want to ride some things without lines, then it's a good opportunity. My son and I went last mid-November, and we only had a few days to spend at Disney World. And that included during the day we spent at Animal Kingdom, and then that night we went to the Halloween party. And that was Christmas. And it was our only Magic Kingdom time. And so we did take advantage of the short lines at the attractions because we were not going to visit any other time. So we did enjoy that part of it. Also, my son's not into the parades or the fireworks as much as I am. So he really enjoyed the short lines. He thought it was very magical to get to walk onto pretty much any attraction that we wanted to ride. Another element to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party is the cookies and hot chocolate. This is available at lots of different quick service locations. You just walk up and you get it. And I don't know what it is about it, but they can keep this hot chocolate is served at like just the perfect temperature. You can drink it right away and it doesn't seem to cool off. And I don't understand how that works. But before we got our own hot chocolate, we had run into some people who said, "This hot chocolate is just mysteriously the perfect temperature." And it really was. It was amazing and delicious and happened to be one of my son's favorite parts. He's not normal though. He likes weird rides and weird features that other people don't. But it is fun to be able to walk up and get cookies and hot chocolate whenever you want. There are also there's a lighting ceremony of the castle. And this is a little bit different this year because in the past, the castle lighting, their castle dream lights, where the castle is completely covered in lights that they have been putting up for the last like 6 weeks or so. And it's always taken place at 6:15, which is before the party. However, this year, I think this is unconfirmed, but this is what Kitty has said is happening. They're going to do a lighting at 6:15 and 7:30. So if you're not going to be at the party, you can see the 6:15 one. If you are going to be at the party, you can see one or both of them. And so that's new this year. And also new this year is that it's Elsa that is going to be doing it, of course, because everything's been frozenized. And finally, one element of the Christmas party is special fireworks, and these are called Holiday Wishes fireworks. They take place at 9:30 during the party, and they are, of course, beautiful. I just cannot get enough of Disney World fireworks, and I love the fireworks themselves a lot, but I like the music that accompanies them just as much. So I have a little taste of what that sounds like, just so you can get a feel for it, and maybe we can all get into the holiday spirit here with this sample. There you go. I love Wishes, and I also love Holiday Wishes. Great, great music, great fireworks. Couple of tips about the party if you are planning to attend. One is to eat beforehand. You don't want to, you know, you probably don't want to spend too much time sitting down to eat your dinner. So if possible, eat beforehand. And another tip is to meet Santa during the day. Santa does appear during the party, but he also appears during the day. So there is nothing that's exclusive to the party. So it's better to do it during the day when there are going to be shorter lines, because they do get to be long lines during the party. Another element that is interestingly long during the party is the Jungle Cruise has a makeover called the Jingle Cruise that they did last year. I think last year was the first time. I assume this year they will have it as well. During the party, the Jingle Cruise had a very long line. In fact, it was our longest wait last year. And I think people just thought, well, it has a holiday makeover. I'm at a Christmas party, so I'm going to ride this. But it's the same ride during the day. So if you want to avoid lines on the Jingle Cruise, you can do that one during the day as well. And then, as always, with party tickets, they are non-refundable. So if you are concerned about weather and you don't want to attend in the rain, then you might want to wait until you get there to buy them. And then, you know, if it's nice weather, you can buy them. There is always the risk of a sellout. And in fact, the first party of this year, November 7th, I believe, has already sold out. So there's always that risk. But if you buy them ahead of time, you've got the risk of bad weather. So that's an element that that's something you'll have to figure out for yourself. Also, one other note is that after the final party in 2014, the final party is on December 19th. A lot of the holiday events become a normal part of Magic Kingdom. So people who are going to be traveling there after December 19th will be able to see the same parades and fireworks and things as a regular part of the Magic Kingdom. And there aren't any parties available because they become a part of the parks. And that's also peak crowds. So, you know, you're going to have a trade-off. You won't have to buy a party ticket, but you will have to deal with all of the crowds. But anyway, so that's kind of an overview of Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. It's a lot of fun. I love it and would recommend it for people. That's at Magic Kingdom. Now, the main event at Epcot is called the Candlelight Processional. And this takes place in the American Gardens Theater, which is the theater near the American Pavilion of the World Showcase. And this is a 40-minute show that includes a choir, a 50-piece orchestra, and a celebrity narrator. And the narrator changes. I think they usually stay for 2 to 3 days. So it, you know, your dates, it'll vary depending on your dates. It happens 3 times daily, beginning after Thanksgiving, and runs through the end of December, usually around December 30th. There's no cost to attend it per se. Like, anybody can just take a seat and watch. However, if you want reserved seating, you can get the Candlelight Dinner Package. And the Candlelight Dinner Package is a meal at one of several restaurants in Epcot. And it gives you, when you buy it, it is the cost of the meal. You get a meal with it, which includes desserts and appetizers and things. You get a reserved seat at the Candlelight Processional and VIP fireworks viewing. If you're on the dining plan, that's 2 table service credits to do that. If you're paying, the cost varies between $30 and $60 per adult. Now, since there are 3 candlelight processionals every evening, 1 at 5 o'clock, 1 at 6:45, and 1 at 8:15, your meal time will dictate when you get to go to the candlelight processional. So if you make a lunch reservation, then as part of the candlelight dinner package, then you will go to the 5 p.m. candlelight processional. If you have dinner between 3:30 and 4:15, then you'll go to the 6:45 candlelight processional. And if you have dinner between 4:20 and 5:45, you'll go to the 8:15 candlelight processional. So I hope that helps a little bit. There is a chart on the website that will be in the, I have a holiday post in the that I will link to in the show notes. And there's a chart that shows the different restaurants that are available and which ones have lunch and dinner. And some of them offer both. So you can use that as sort of a reference. One of my favorite celebrity narrators is Neil Patrick Harris. And in my head, we are BFFs because his life just seems so much fun. And he considers it a family tradition to visit Disney World the first part of December every year. And so during that time is when he is a celebrity narrator at the Candlelight Processional for a couple of nights. And so just to give you a taste of what the show is like, I will play a clip of Neil narrating with the choir chiming in as he tells the story.
Let's begin. And it came to pass that the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth. He came to a virgin named Mary, who was betrothed to Joseph of the house of David. And the angel said, "The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And Mary was troubled at the sight of him and by his words. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus."
So there's a little taste of what the Candlelight Processional is like. Indeed, Neil is back this year from November 30th to December 2nd. And other celebrity narrators include Whoopi Goldberg, LeVar Burton, Anna Gasteyer, who was on Saturday Night Live. And on Christmas Day is Isabella Rossellini. So that is a brief list of the celebrities that will appear this year. And so it's them in combination with the choir and the orchestra, just a beautiful thing to see. So that is the main event at Epcot. Now at Hollywood Studios, what we have is the Osborne Lights. And the Osborne Lights, the story of the Osborne Lights is that there was a man in Arkansas who put lights up on his house and it became a nuisance and he was told to take them down. But Disney has the lights now and it's in the Streets of America section of Hollywood Studios and they turn them on at 6 p.m. And it is so, there are so many lights and it is so beautiful. I just gasp when they turn the lights on and I just absolutely love it. If you want to see them turn the lights on, then you should be there around 6 p.m. The light show, because the lights, they have like a choreography between the music and the lights. That happens every so often from 6 p.m. to close. And so if you want to avoid the crowds, because this area does get crowded with people on the streets, you can go towards the end of the park being open. So the last 30 minutes or so that the park is open, you might want to head over there for fewer people. And they actually leave them on for about an hour after the park is officially closed. So you can linger and look at them if you would like. I love Osborne Lights. I before I saw them for the first time, I didn't know what to expect, but my upcoming trip, yes, I'm going back very soon in November. This is actually one of the things on my list. So we're only going to be there for about 4 nights. And this is one of the things I wanted to do just because I love it so much. They're beautiful. They do have a new package this year that includes VIP viewing of the Osborne Lights and eating desserts. But I mentioned in a previous podcast, I do not recommend it because it's easy enough to see them without paying the $80 or $90, whatever it costs, to do that. And so I just recommend going there towards the end of when the park is open and strolling through to see the pretty lights. Now, I've mentioned the three main events at Magic Kingdom, Epcot, and Hollywood Studios. There is a special tour you can take after Thanksgiving, and it includes elements of all three of them. So, and plus dinner. So you get to eat dinner. I think it's at Wilderness Lodge. And then you see the castle lighting at Magic Kingdom. You see Candlelight Processional at Epcot and you see the Osborne Lights. And that costs, I think, $199 per person. So if you wanted to see all three in one night, you could do that. There are some other things that are more low key that are going on in the parks. Let's go back to the Magic Kingdom where we began. The first thing is that there's a tree lighting ceremony that takes place at dusk daily after the tree is up. Now, the tree at Magic Kingdom is not up until after the first Friday or Saturday in December, because that's when they tape the Christmas Day parade. So if you ever turn on the TV on Christmas Day and you see the Disney World parade, Disney parade, it was taped the first weekend of December. And where the Christmas tree is where they put the cameras to tape the parade. So the tree doesn't go up until after then. But once it's up, then you can see the tree lighting ceremony at dusk every day. At Epcot, from the first part of November through the end of December, most of the countries have storytellers. And this includes 10 minutes approximately of stories from their culture. And so it's really interesting because it's a, you know, cultural lesson to see how it varies by country. And so you can do that. You can sort of go through the World Showcase listening to stories from around the world. And there is also at Epcot a special ending to Illuminations that you only see during the holiday season. And the Voices of Liberty, who are a cappella singers in the American Pavilion, they normally sing beautiful a cappella music, but during the holidays, they sing Christmas carols. And so my tip when you want to watch Voices of Liberty is that when you walk into the building, there is a nice big circular area and they come in on the left. So my suggestion is to sit on the right as you walk in so that you don't end up looking at the back of their heads. For a taste of what they sound like, I have a quick clip of them singing some Christmas carols. Christmas in the air, Christmas in the air. Message everywhere that there is Christmas in me. just beautiful. I love listening to them. And so they're definitely a treat during the holidays. All this music's kind of put me into the spirit. I'm going to probably start decorating or something soon. I love hearing all this. Okay, so that's a few things that are happening at Epcot. And then Downtown Disney is really decorated for the holidays. And there's also the chance to meet Santa and his chalet. It's a great photo opportunity if you want to meet Santa and have a nice picture for your family. And this is located near the World of Disney in Downtown Disney. And finally, we have the resorts. And the resorts are amazing, particularly the deluxe resorts. And so there's a few that are worth noting. Number one is definitely Grand Floridian. And they have, not only is it beautiful, but they have a 16-foot tall gingerbread house that sits in the lobby. And they also have smaller versions that are available to purchase. And if you want to just visit one resort, this is the one I would recommend. These resorts, by the way, many of them have photo pass photographers in them to allow you to take advantage of photos in front of the beautiful decorations and the Christmas trees. So I cannot tell you a schedule or time or dates or anything. I just know that photo pass photographers are often available. So if you happen to go, when you happen to spot one, then you can ask for some pictures. And if you have Memory Maker, then that'd be a great thing to add to Memory Maker. There's also at Wilderness Lodge, a 60-foot tall tree, which fills the lobby. It actually takes 18 hours to put that tree up, but Wilderness Lodge is one of the best resorts to visit during the holidays because it is so cozy and so beautiful. And then the Beach Club, Yacht Club, Boardwalk, all of the Boardwalk area, Epcot area hotels, they have lots of decorations, including large edible items like an edible carousel, edible train, an edible miniature version of Atlantic City with a Ferris wheel. All of these have, you know, edible decorations that are on display. Animal Kingdom Lodge, absolutely beautiful, big giant Christmas tree with ornaments that are themed for the resort. And then at the Contemporary Resort, there's a holiday village made of gingerbread and chocolate, and it sits near the monorail platform. So that's something that you might want to check out if you happen to be there then. So anyway, lots of stuff to do during the holidays, and we are just about, it's just about time for that. We, my son and I will be there November 22nd to the 26th, which is right before Thanksgiving. And so there are no Christmas parties that are held that week. So we won't be doing that, but we will get to see all the decorations and see the Osborne lights and all that kind of stuff. So really looking forward to that. And his birthday happens to be in mid-November. And so every year when he says, I want to go to Disney World, it's easy to do because it is very, very cheap for us because we have free flights that we use. We both have annual passes, so there's no park tickets to purchase. And we stay at a value resort using an annual pass holder discount, and we use Magical Express. So we're really only paying for an inexpensive hotel for a few nights, and we end up splitting entrees and, you know, really keeping our food costs down. So it's a really easy thing for us to do for his birthday. I know it sounds ridiculous for a middle schooler to say, yes, I want to go to Disney World, but in this house, it's not so strange since it doesn't cost us all that much. So if you happen to be going between November 22nd and 26th, then be sure to look for us. I would love to talk to people, and I always have a gift to give somebody when they say hello. So before we wrap up today, I have a quick tip of the day. My quick tip is something that you may know if you follow along on the Facebook page, but it is a link to a site. It's actually The Dib, which is a UK-based Disney World planning site, and they have this fantastic tool that's in their forums, and they create graphs of FastPass Plus availability for all rides that usually run out of fast passes in advance. So this is really great for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and Anna and Elsa in particular. Our upcoming trip was not scheduled until about a month beforehand, so I did not make FastPass Plus reservations 60 days in advance because I didn't plan it that far ahead of time. And so when I planned my trip, I was not able to get Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. However, on this site, I was able to just sort of refresh my browser periodically. I noticed that there was Seven Dwarfs Mine Train openings on the day I needed. So I went into my account and I changed one of my fast passes to the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and I got it. And there were recently a bunch of Seven Dwarfs Mine Train that opened up for November. So the chart, you know, showed all these openings, and I was able to email out my people that are on my November mailing list and let them know, hey, if you wanted a Seven Dwarfs Mind Train, go snag one now. So it's been very, very helpful, not only just for me, but for lots of readers that I've alerted to go check it and get some for themselves. So I will, of course, include a link to that in the show notes. So if there's something you're trying to get, you can use that as a reference. I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, you can visit wdwprepschool.com/episode63. That is the number 63. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.